What's happening? How are you doing today? Thank you so much for being here. I am Chris. This is the world famous Cool Cars with Chris. Like always, I got the amazing, wonderful, the legend himself, Courage. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. Always great to be on talking some cars.
Yeah, and joining us for the very first time, coming to us from downtown San Diego, because you know the trolley's going off, is Adrian. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Excited for this. Yeah.
Man, so Mr. Adrian here has got some cool cars in his collection. He's got a cool Instagram page. And so you go around and you take video and photos of different cars, or how'd you get involved with that?
So I've been a photographer my whole life, and I love cars since I was a kid. Those two things just go hand in hand. And on the weekends, I just bring my camera. I'll take pictures of Cars and Coffee. I get hired to do listings for Bring a Trailer or Cars and Bids. I've gotten to do some creative work with Doug DeMuro and Cars and Bids, going to their track day, doing photo shoots with them. So a little bit stepping more into the automotive space for photography. I would love to be doing more of that. But in the daytime, I'm doing interviews and shooting documentary style videos and
wow,
sometimes photography as well. So photo and video is kind of how I've been living the past 10 years. Yeah.
Now, one thing here about photos, especially car stuff and any kind of content really, it seems like everything's shifting towards like the short form, like the reels and the TikTok and things like that. Even like I've heard from like YouTubers that have, you know, started doing a lot of the long form traditional like car video type stuff. They're all shifting to this quick pace, fast pace kind of stuff. Do you do that kind of stuff too?
I need to edit more stuff. I have a lot of stuff in the editing bay, and I kick myself for it for not doing it. And I think since, you know, I'm editing videos for work, but when I'm done working, I don't want to be on Premiere anymore. I want to go do other things. So I kind of hinder myself by not creating enough content when I should be editing more for myself. But I have done some reels and getting to do more of the short form stuff. But my brain just doesn't think that way.
Yeah.
That makes sense, you know?
Yeah. I think you have to like really not like think that way, but I think you have to like when you create a reel, don't you have to like kind of think of like every little like 5 seconds of what's gonna be in the shot
and like what's the first shot?
Yeah.
It's going to grab them, right?
Right.
Well, and I will say, I think a while back you had posted something that I think we were talking about from a trip that you had taken out, I think to the Bay Area, to San Francisco or something. And that quick reel that you did. And I'm telling you, that was awesome. Like,
Thank you.
And I can tell you got the,
That's a year and a half ago. I filmed it. So I posted these two reels of me being, I was in San Francisco for work and I had the DJI Osmo 3 and I filmed stuff. I filmed myself taking photos. I shared photos. I added sound design and I filmed that 2025 in January and I just posted it like a month ago. And I'm like, wow. The video's not done yet. And people are like, when are you going to finish the video? Especially, that's my girlfriend always telling me, like, just finish it already. But I don't know, like, it's just, I haven't sat there and like gotten lost in the full edit. But yeah, it's that. I'm always just kind of...
Well, what do you think about me just like hiring an editor to take care of that for you, to speed the process up so you don't have to worry about it?
For work, I have hired editors, depending on budgets. When it's bigger budget shoots, I'll hire an editor so I don't have to do it.
Right.
I have a friend that's a really good editor, really good at putting things together. But a lot of times, you know, budgets have been getting smaller. So now my girlfriend actually started, she's a producer in our company. So she actually started helping me edit more. So she'll cut the interview down into like the 2-3 minute mark. And then from there, I'll kind of like add the B-roll and finish it off. That way we can kind of just keep most of the money with us, you know, because the budgets are getting small. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people are realizing that there's a lot of tools out there too. They can do a lot of stuff for you automatically with AI and things like that. So I was always dreaming of a tool that someday, I know CapCut can kind of do this, but like that you could like film a bunch of stuff, shoot like to your heart's content of everything and just drop it into some AI tool and it just does a beautiful like finished video
and it just knows you like it knows what you like and how to edit
I mean something like that. I'm like, that's what I really need, because like I mean video editing, I hate it, you know, like I hate it more than anything, you know. It's like I don't want to touch it, so I don't for the most part. Even audio editing, I'm getting kind of like, you know, slacking off on that, but I've been pretty good at that for the most part. And I think with audio editing it's much easier than video editing. you know, there's, you know, it's just the way it is. But that's super cool, man. So speaking of cameras, what kind of cameras do you normally use for your shoots?
I use a Canon C50 for as my main A camera. The one I'm using right now is a Canon R6 Mark II, which is my B cam. Sometimes it's the A cam for some shoots. It's also my primary photo camera. I still use a 5D Mark III. I've had it since day one, 10 years plus. It's like if someone's getting into photography right now and they have $1,000 or they want to get the newest camera, I always recommend the 5D Mark III. One, because it's a professional camera at the time. It still holds up. It's before mirrorless. It has a different look. The autofocus isn't good, but it's going to force you to get better at autofocus. And then I pair it with a Canon FD vintage lens that's only manual. So to me, that's one of my favorite combos, because now you get a little bit of the analog look, but you have a mirror camera. And then I have a Red Scarlet that I don't use much. I pretty much bought it right when the Komodos came out, and it kind of went obsolete. It's big and bulky, but I use it for like specialty shots. And what else do I have? We use the DJI Osmo Pocket 3.
And so you have Courage, the DJI?
Yeah. I have the Pocket 2, but yeah.
Oh, so what's the difference? Pocket 2, Pocket 3? Is like an upgraded or something?
Yeah, I think they have the 4 now, right?
Or they're talking about the 4, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think the big thing with the 3 was that you got that screen that you could just rotate from portrait to versus mine is just fixed in there. But it's just something about, like, that was my kind of original getting into starting YouTube, just using that. And, you know, so small, just pull it out, get some great B-roll. Too. Yeah.
You know, it's a nice little tool. Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of these cameras, like, I've evolved the GoPros. When GoPros first came out, I was you know, excited about those kind of cameras. And now they've evolved with all kinds of different things. Speaking of GoPro, did you hear about the new camera that came out with? Was it M Mission 1, I think it is?
It's my GoPro?
Yeah. It's supposed to be, what they say, it was a 1-inch sensor, I think, on it.
Oh, you know what? I think I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's out available yet or whatever, but I'm like, man, you know, it's supposed to be like a cinematic style. Honest to God, I don't know about cameras. Like, I don't know what aperture even means, to tell you the truth. But
well, you know the word, which is good.
Yeah, so well, I know that. It's about as far as it goes.
To be confused with Aperture, the lighting brand that's spelled a little bit different.
Well, that's how they get you, you know. But I know that like all I know is that when I had my GoPro, in the first GoPro I had, it was like the second gen or whatever, I would like shoot stuff and like pull it back on the computer. I'm like, this actually looks really good. You know, like it looks crisp, it looks clean, it looks like the video quality looks great. You know, of course, phones have gotten evolved and they've gotten better. Hey, do you shoot anything with your phone at all? Like, are you like into that?
I hate it, but I understand it. So sometimes I'll do reels with my phone for my page, because, you know, my page is, it's just to share my cars and coffee or different quick things. I don't use it professionally. I know that some people, you know, I have seen posts for work, like, let's just say a company's going to Comic-Con or something and they need someone to get content for them. Sometimes they just want stuff shot with the phone. And to me, that's mind-blowing. Doing this for so long that now it's like, wait, now you guys just want to use phones? Because it's a whole different thing. That, oh, we wanted the more organic look. And phones have gotten better. Yeah. And there's been times where, like, I'll see something. I'm like, oh, I wish I had my camera. And people go, oh, but you have your phone. I'm like, you're right. The best camera on you is the one that you have on you.
Oh, that's the thing, isn't
but
it?
Yeah. It's not the same as like taking a picture. I love having a viewfinder. So I hate that a lot of these new cameras don't. And then it goes back to, like, I've had a camera on me since I was a kid. So to me, I documented my middle school, high school, sixth grade camp. I have photos of me because my mom would give me the disposable cameras.
Oh,
so to me, looking through a viewfinder is just like photography. And a phone is just, I don't know. You know, I try not to use it.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, just because I didn't really pick up like an actual kind of camera until I was like 17 or 18 years old. Like, you know, maybe a disposable here, you know, here or there. But if what you said about just like looking through a viewfinder and seeing things from that different view just changed a lot for me at that point, where I was like, where has this been my whole life kind of thing?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it really is like, it really does feel different versus, you know, using your phone and, you know, you see everything on the screen. You'd think it would be easier, but it's, and easy probably isn't what you're looking for either. You're kind of looking for that feeling of capturing something special, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I thought like when I first got my first digital camera, how cool that was, you know, being able to like, you know, shoot, tip in your pocket, and all these crazy have like so many images on a memory card, and you can throw them away or use them or whatever. And I think I remember when I had my like a regular film camera, is that you got really selective on the shots you're gonna take.
Yeah,
because you only had so much film in the roll or whatever. But now it's like, I mean, people's Instagram, they just like hold the button down and they, you know, all the shots or whatever, and they like are gonna fill their phone up with memory or what. I mean, you still fill your phone up, I guess, really, you know, with that kind of stuff. But so speaking of car shots, though, I was kind of curious, like, what makes a really good car shot? If somebody were to use their phone, it's called all the camera they have, say a new iPhone or whatever, what would make a really good shot of a car?
I think it's going to be lighting and contrast, foreground. It's just the little things that kind of just make a great image, I feel like can still translate to car photography. If you're going to take a picture of a car, being backlit always helps. It gives it more of a cinematic look. Or consistent lighting. Like if the car isn't, like half of it is in the shade and half of it is not. Like I was having issues taking photos at the mountain just Saturday because my car was halfway in the shadow and all the other cars weren't. And I'm like, oh, those photos didn't come out that good because it was just harsh lighting. But one of the other things is always going to be composition too. So like I think the same things that apply to a lot of photography is going to translate to the car.
But there's some car shots, so like I take a shot of my car, I'm like, that's horrible. And then I like see something on Instagram that's like literally the same car. I'm like, how are they making their shot look so much better than my shot? Like, what are they doing? You know, I mean, they're both the same car, typically. I mean, same exact car, and they're both parked. Okay, we got that figured out. Yeah. And we're both taken from the front, so what am I doing wrong? You know?
I think also finding the angle, because every car has different angles. Finally found the angle of my car, and it's, I don't know if you can see it, but it's like the three-quarter angle.
I can't see it.
Right there.
So I made that my background, but now I've had the car for 8 months, but now I found like the angle that like I really like about for that car specifically. So okay. I'm always kind of sticking to the same photo.
And what kind of car do you have right now you're driving? What's your daily driver?
2015 Subaru BRZ.
Subaru BRZ. So basically the Toyota FRS or Scion FRS, whatever. Was that Scion back then or was it just...
It started with Scion FRS and then when Scion went away, they changed it to Toyota 86.
You know, was a car that when it came out, the Scion FRS, I thought it was a very good looking car because I remember the flyer, like the ad for it was like this bright red, beautiful color red, and it had some of the sweeping lines and the hood and the nose. It kind of had like a little bit of Ferrari in the front of it. When I saw that ad, I was like, man, this is like a little mini Ferrari looking car, you know?
The fenders are like, have that little hump on the top. It has like a nice, beautiful line to the side of the hood. Yeah.
And I saw that. I was like, oh, it's only like 25 grand or whatever it was at the time. I was like, damn, you know, the only downside, I had that little four-cylinder engine in there, which is still used today. But is yours modified at all, by the way?
I've lowered it. I have spacers. I changed the wing and just changed the interior to a bunch of Alcantara with red stitching pieces, shifter, steering wheel. Other than that, engine's all stock.
Okay. And now, I've never driven one, but are they pretty quick? Are they kind of...
They're slow. It's a momentum car. But they're fun.
Yeah. So it's like a Miata, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And honestly, when I was in the mountains this Saturday and I was like behind that Mustang, on the straights, you know, they're leaving me. But on the corners, I was behind because I feel like when you have it's more fun to drive a slow car fast, how they say, than a fast car slow. I'm flooring it. I'm pushing my car to the limit because like there's no power. But when you have a 450 horsepower up in the mountains, you have to tame yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be easy with the gas. But I'm going. I feel like I'm having more fun than someone with a GT3 that has to like, you know, slow down.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Once you keep it going, it has a torque dip on this car. So a lot of people add a header and a tune to get rid of that torque dip at the bottom. But once you get to like 4 or 5K RPMs, it kind of starts to move. So can't wait to go to the track for the first time sometime this year. And like,
nice.
Now that I'm getting more comfortable with the car, I feel like at the track, I'm going to be able to really, I sim race a lot. So I feel like I'll be able to really test, find more, being more comfortable at the track to see where my limit is and being safe. But I also added Hawk 5.0 brake pads, and just that alone kind of like made driving up the mountain a lot better. It brakes so much better.
Stock wheels?
Stock wheels, yeah. I can't wait to get wheels, but I got tires right when I got the car. So yeah. I have to wait till like I need tires. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did some of the stuff that mattered. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I got tires for my car. I wanted to get wheels for it, but I got the stock wheels on mine. But that's pretty cool, dude. And Redline's what, 6 or 7 on that car?
I think 7.5 or yeah. Yeah.
So would you say it likes to rev? Like, does it like when you're getting up there and that like above four?
When I was in the mountains, I'm in like second gear at 5, 6, 7. Mm. Like it, that's where the power is. Once I go to third, so I'm like high revving all the time. Yeah.
Does it have a sync rev for the shifting on there?
A sync rev like, to do the auto blip?
Yeah.
I don't think so. And I like doing it. So I'm always just...
Okay. Oh, you're pretty good. So you can heel toe yourself? You can actually do it? Dude, I can't do it, man. I do my own mimic version of it where it's like, I don't use the brake at all, but I just like blip the throttle, clutch, you know, kind of deal.
Just to match it?
Yeah, without using the brake, really. I'll use the brake to slow the car down to where I need it to be, then let go of the brake, and then you move over to the clutch, and then do it that way and stuff. I'm getting pretty good at it. Although I think my car does have a lightweight flywheel installed on it. I bought the car used. So when you buy a car used, once you tear the whole thing apart, it's kind of hard to tell like what's been really done inside, you know, like the clutch and stuff. But Courage drove the car and he said it felt kind of heavy. So
what kind of car?
It's a 370Z.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. I bought it earlier this year. And the only thing I've done to it is I had the piping redone because it had an axle back exhaust on there, but it had stock pipe all the way to the cats. And I wanted the whole thing cat back.
Yeah.
So I had the thing all repiped with X-pipe and all that. And it had a cold air intake, a carb legal one. I'd make sure though, there was a carb legal one on there. I had the sticker and everything. And I had that installed, had the filter installed, changed that on that. And it had, I had coilover, was it Fortune Auto coilover springs on there. And it was lowered. Rough ride. So I had to take it to a shop, had them adjust it. Give me a nicer ride and that kind of stuff. So I drove the car today. I drove past Courage's place today or yesterday. Oh, really? I got back today. Yeah. And so yeah, I'm a little tired.
But out here in the boondocks.
Yeah, it's so hot, man. It's hot here too, but it's hot up there too. My goodness. So freaking hot. But Adrian, so you have an Instagram page. Now your Instagram page, is that your company?
I wouldn't say company. It's more of just like my platform, you know.
Okay.
My Instagram used to be E36Mia when I had my E36. And after I crashed the car. So after that happened, I was like, you know, I'm going to continue taking photos of cars. Let me find a name for it. And then I wanted to kind of, after I changed the name, because that's just like the ethos of like, these cars are meant to be driven. Like, I don't like when they just become investments.
Yeah. And well, we get to like the $1 million. You get the $1 million showpiece. You ever seen the guy that has like the crane to his like a loft apartment in New York City in the top story or whatever. it's like in there. The thing's not fitting down the elevator. It's just gonna be sitting there the entire time just as a showpiece. Now, if you do that, do you have to like drain all the fluids out?
I recently heard that when people do store cars away for a while, that they do drain all the fluids. Especially if they buy a new car and they want to just save it for later or something, they'll drain all the fluids and put them away. And still keep the original fluids. And I thought that was really kind of wild.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to share here your Instagram page. Here we go. All right. Ta-da, there we are. And this is your page right here. So we're going to scroll through here and see some cool things. If you're listening on audio, you're not going to be able to see this, but we're going to describe things best we can. Your Instagram handle is meant to be driven, but you have a little, bottom slash be driven. So between each word, it's like a bottom slash, right?
I never actually realized. I know you were explaining when we were getting on there, but I never knew there was a backslash in the front in there. I've followed you for so long now.
I forgot why I did that. Maybe the other one was taken.
That's what happens with mine too. Like I did kind of the same thing with mine to kind of like space the words wasn't all mashed together kind of a thing. And that could have been it too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So here's your Instagram page. So we're scrolling through here. So this is your car here, the one next to the beer sign.
Yeah.
Where is this taken at, by the way?
It's Garage 79. It's about an hour and a half from here past like Julian, and to the, it's east of Mount Palomar, and they, it's just a bar in the middle of nowhere. So it's a really fun destination because it's a drive to go out there, and they host a Carson Coffee every third Sunday of the month. So I planned a drive to go out there, and I think 18, 20 cars showed up, and we just went and drove out
there. It's like a Mustang, Porsche. I don't know if this is behind, I don't know if that one's on the other side there. I don't know if that is. Other side of your car.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Yeah.
Next time you guys do those, I'm going to have, because this is actually a lot closer to me, because it's like sort of a back way to get to Julian from Temecula as well.
Oh, this is probably
straight off the 79. Yeah, we meet right off the 15. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. All these cars right
here. Was that a Fox Body Mustang? That black that car, Fox Body?
Oh, yeah. Right here, the tail end. I don't know if you have a shot of it.
Horsepower.
There it is right there.
Wow.
Look at that thing. Cool. Fox Body Mustang.
So nice. Yeah.
And that's like the 80, more the 80s with like the kind of preface.
The four headlights in the front.
I think he said it was early 80s. I forgot exactly what year, but Cool guy. And then the guy, the other Mustang to the left, they were both talking.
Oh, I see right there. Is it in the show? Oh, let's see if they have a shot of that one here and here.
They were both talking right there about their cars, which I love getting that photo of just two guys talking about their cars.
That's great. Yeah. That's a great shot. Like I think the cool thing about some photography is when you can get like the experience in a photo of what's kind of like happening. Yeah. Not to hear anything, not to like, you know, listen to what the conversation is. You kind of get the emotional experience of like just seeing these two guys talking, you know, looking at two different cars, or having guy's got a coffee in his hand and he's pointing out the car. And I think it's great. You know, I think it's pretty cool, you know. Although some of these cars and coffee, do you ever get guys that are kind of jerks that don't want to like share nothing or talk to you about? Oh, really?
Yeah. They don't want to talk to you because you don't have an expensive Porsche. There's those people out there. Yeah.
What is this right here? I'm looking at.
That's an S2000. Yeah. The guy that I bought, my friend that I bought the BRZ from, went and bought that right after.
Wow.
Yeah, he just bought that. The guy that fixed it up before. Yeah.
And then your car next to it right there? I see it.
I was going to say, that's kind of a natural progression from like the VRZ to the S2000, like the, you know, still rear wheel drive, four cylinder. Like,
and then my friend just picked up the Audi TT for like dirt cheap.
I heard the Audi TTs have like, they drop in value. Like you can get them pretty cheap. Is that because the reliability's crap?
I think so, but it's just with a lot of cars, once you kind of fix those issues, you kind of get into a car for cheap, you know.
Mm-hmm. Your car you bought used, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I bought it from the original owner, 100% stock.
Oh, good.
For less than $10,000.
Wow.
And he had the two major services on these cars done,
which are what?
Spark plugs and clutch.
Okay.
So I bought it with 95,000 miles. He did the clutch at 90 and then the spark plugs at 85. And my brother's a Subaru parts manager. So maintenance has been pretty cheap.
Oh, that's a blessing. And you know, somebody on the inside. Yeah, my car, I wasn't sure about the clutch. It had over 100,000 miles on it. And I had another Z. This is my second 370 Z I've owned. And I changed the clutch on the other one about 70,000. And this one had over 100,000. I'm kind of hoping it already got done, but there was no record of it being done on the Carfax at all. The Carfax basically showed like oil changes and things like that. It didn't show any major service, but I know it had bigger brakes. The brakes were changed out, bigger rotors. It had the coilovers. It had the, you know, intake. It had, you know, like I said, things were done to it. And I have a weighted shifter on there. And so I figure that, and if, I'm pretty sure all the clues are pointing to it has a lightweight flywheel. Which, if they did that, they had to have done the clutch. There's no way you just do one without the other.
Yeah, while you're in there.
Right, that's what I'm figuring. You know, that's what... Now, this is at... these pictures we're showing here, is it looks like it's out in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's Mount Palomar. This is pretty much like our Newcombs Ranch, our drive-up LA Crest. This is our version of it. It's smaller. It's more intimate. It's not as busy as LA, so it's been nice. Yeah. That was the first time we went up there, and the second time we've gone, like, there's nobody up there.
How many spots are there in this area? It doesn't like very many.
You can probably park over 20 cars in that.
Okay.
That garage. I mean, that garage. Space. Yeah.
Yeah. I see right there. Okay. Well, if it's not that busy, do you guys usually just do this on a weekend or weekday?
weekends, but I want to go up on a weekday in the morning one day to see how it is. But usually, probably, yeah, weekends, yeah.
Probably nobody there on the weekends. I mean, weekdays, I would think it's probably pretty light, but I just don't know.
But we go up at 6-7 in the morning, so it's there's no traffic.
6 and 7 in the morning. My goodness.
Yeah, yeah, I remember when we actually I call Viraj the connector voodoo GT, I think is his name on Instagram, but when we went to Angeles Crest, you know, I had left my house at 4:30, five o'clock, I think, met them right around like 6 or so over in like Oceanside, and then we drove all the way up to Angeles Crest, got there like 7:30. And so, yeah, getting on these roads as early as possible to be able to really enjoy them.
You know what I think they need to have? I'm flipping the script here. No more cars and coffee. We got to have like sunsets and dinner.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think
that's a niche that that only a few people are kind of in at the moment. But yeah,
you know, I will say an hour makes a big difference because on Saturday it was Viraj drive. We met at 7:30. We went up the mountain at 8. Halfway up the mountain, we're stuck behind a car, and there's a bunch of cyclists. And then I told him, "See, that's why I do mine at an hour before because there is nobody." And then he's like, "Yeah, but people see a 6 on your meetup time and they don't want to go." And I'm like, "Hey,
yeah,
it's all right with me. Whoever doesn't show up, we're gonna have more fun."
Well, is it true or not that one of the better times to film a car or shoot a car is an hour to sunset?
Yes, I during the middle of the day, like most of the day, the sun's on top, the lighting's horrible. When you start, you can film sunrise or sunset when that sun is low, you get those long shadows, you get softer light. It's going to be a lot better.
Oh, that Esprit was cool. Sorry to detour, but that Lotus Esprit was really cool.
I think I lost it.
Oh, that was one of my favorite cars. Where did
I
go?
Where was it at? I think which one I was on. Yeah, so much stuff on your Instagram. I was going through. I think it was in here.
I did that one. Yeah, that was a Carson Coffee that some friends put together. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Lotus. What year is that Lotus, by the way? It's yellow.
Probably 90s, right? Probably.
I think so.
In the 90s. I don't I just remember playing racing video games.
Gran Turismo.
That's so cool. That's so cool. You know, when I go to these Cars and Coffee, the things that do not impress me are like the new Corvettes or the whatever, you know, or the new Mustang. It's new stock Mustang.
Waiting for Chris to slot that in.
You know, it's like, I'm not impressed at all. I mean, okay, it's cool. I mean, listen, I wouldn't turn the keys down. You know, give me the keys for a drive. I would drive it for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I saw one tonight, you know, parked in front of the Applebee's. But, you know, I don't know. I think something like this, you know, something classic, something that's been fixed up, something that's like something you don't see every day. You know, like that's the kind of stuff I'm really into. I mean, of course, you don't see like the $1 million, you know, supercars either.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I love to meet people at Cars and Coffee that have high mileage cars. Are like, oh, I met a guy, he sold it now, but he built a 911, took it apart, painted everything, changed everything. And then he's like, I've driven across country twice. And I'm like, that's awesome. Right. You know, that's what they're for.
Right. Yeah. Like your
memories,
says,
you know,
meant to be driven. Yeah, I mean, gosh, that fitment right there in that wheel there and then this Porsche.
Yeah.
That thing is like tight, you know, right in there.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of my cars like that too, a little bit. I like those wheels though. Those definitely not stock, I don't think, but
there's so much to like wheel fitment that just is just, I'm just not in that world when it comes to just like the right offset, obviously the right diameter, you know, because it's not always bigger is better. Like sometimes going smaller, more tire, but still fitting it perfectly. Like,
what are your thoughts on cambering your tires? Like really cambering where it's like you are, the wheels are pointing in a different direction.
Oh, kind of like those cars are like, not for me.
Yeah, I saw one riding down the freeway the other day.
I'm like, your wheel hubs.
Yeah, like you must be riding on like an inch of tire. Because you're, you know, there's some GTRs here, looks like, when they're.
Yeah. Back when I had my 300ZX, it was, I did lower that. I was in lowering springs. And naturally with those, like you start to camber out because they don't just have, but they don't have much adjustment on the on the front of the bag.
Look at that.
Yeah. Type R. Yeah.
Oh, that's a Type R too?
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's got a unicorn. What's that thing worth, by the way?
A lot of money.
did one sell recently? I thought one sold maybe a year or two ago for like 100 grand or something like that.
I think there might have been at least one that sold for that much because it was low miles. But yeah, they're over 50 for sure.
Wow. Yeah. I remember when I think I saw one that came out. I saw one like just randomly in a parking lot, like random, you know, like some kid, you know, bought it or whatever kind of thing. And I don't think they, at the time they came out, I think it was like late 90s, maybe early 2000s. And I don't think they were very, well, they were a lot, but they weren't like a ton of money, you know, they were like, you know, Shelby Cobra prices, but they're probably like, I think they were like maybe 30 or so.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more, maybe, you know, I remember when they replaced that with the Acura RSX. That was a car I wanted.
I wanted that at one point too. They were nice.
Yeah, they just fell. They just disappeared. You know, I mean, you know, I think the last year they made one might have been like 05 maybe or 03 or something like that.
But did we ever get like a Type R or like a Type S of the RSX in the States? We got a Type S,
yeah, but not a Type R.
Right. I think it had over 200 horsepower. I think it had.
Yeah, not, like not a 220 ton. Or something.
Yeah. I test drove one, I remember, and I was blown away because, well, it's all about perspective, though. Like, if you drive something that's super, super slow, like really slow, and you get into anything, like even a Honda Civic, you know, DX or whatever, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, it's like a rocket, you know? So it's all about perspective, I guess. So I guess kind of wonder if some of these guys that have like super high end, you know, cars and things, and they get into something like even your car, like the BRZ, you're like, what is this?
Yeah, the probably thing is, if you go from a McLaren 765 LT to like a BRZ, they're probably like, why are you driving this? This doesn't go anywhere. But I'm sure there's people out there. For example, Anthony with he had a Porsche Boxer Spider RS during the drive. He's like, I had fun, but the car is doing most of the stuff. He was behind Virage, and he's like, he's such a good driver. He's like, the only reason why I was keeping up is because of the car. So next time he wants to bring his Ford Fiesta ST because he knows it's going to be more of him. So it's cool to know people like that too, that have a really nice, fast, beautiful performing car. But then they also have something smaller that is more analog, and it's going to be more about you driving the car.
That's what I love about my car, man. It's all analog. I mean, there's some stuff, but it's not like today's stuff, you know. And it's a very raw analog feel when I have my car and the way it sounds and it feels and just the rawness of it and the vibrations and when you drive the thing and I also think that because it has that lightweight flywheel and the aftermarket clutch, it makes it very hard to feather the clutch to park it. You have to kind of like give it more gas to kind of get it to move and then let the clutch out. That makes kind of sense. You can't really, you can't do it really lightly because if you do, you'll stall it out. I did stall it out, especially on a slight incline or whatever. Hey, as I ask you though, on these shots here, you've taken a lot of shots of the front wheels and one of the back wheel.
That's a good one. What is the purpose? By the way, Chris, that one, if you go one to the right, but that 550 Barchetta right there, I mean, we talk about unobtainium crazy stuff, but it was that red Ferrari. It was in that other one, one right before this. That this car one? Right there.
To no, the right. The, one more.
One more to the right.
Background shot. Got it. Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen one of those in person, but that's... They're
super RCF, rare, right?
They're really RCF, rare. Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
But going back to the wheel shots, why the front wheels or back wheel shot? What does that mean, and why do you do that?
I'm not really thinking like that when I take the picture. I'm kind of just walking, and like the 996 GT3 is one of my favorite cars, and then that Ferrari happened to be passing in the background. So that one, I think I tried to time that one. But like the Ferrari to the left of the back wheel, I was just kind of getting the back half of the car.
Right.
Just trying to see how creative we can get. And honestly, I'm just capturing the cars that I saw. Nothing too special, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's
that,
something
that car right there is incredible.
What kind of brakes are those? Those ceramic?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, that rotor is almost the size of the entire rim.
Yeah, that's
got to
at least be
15
or 16 inches. Yeah.
But all fair honesty, people have taken those DXs and really have done some stuff to them back in the day, you know, with rims, wheels, turbo kits from eBay, of course, and, you know, tin can in the back, and you're good to go. So your car, you don't have any exhaust or any kind of sound, nothing to it?
No, it's all stock. I did borrow a friend's exhaust for like about 2 months, and it was way too loud.
Oh,
and
obnoxious. Really?
It was a cheap exhaust to begin with, but I borrowed it. It was nice when I would like downshift and I was slowing down, but I couldn't I couldn't drive my car. I couldn't floor it. I couldn't drive fast because it was loud, obnoxious, droney. I couldn't listen to music. And yeah, I would be kind of embarrassed if when I would like take off. And like,
oh, really?
I'm just like, oh, it's not going. It's one of those like the car is way too loud and it's just not going anywhere. The day I took
and
it off.
And everybody thinks that you're trying to like get the, but you're really not. You're just driving.
But as soon as I took the exhaust off and it was quiet, I started driving, going close to red line. And it's like you can't really see me. You can't hear me. I'm not bringing attention to myself. It's kind of quiet. So it's so much. I do want to get an exhaust eventually, but I want it to be more mature. And
yeah,
and
like a deeper tone kind of thing.
Yeah, deeper tone, not raspy at all. Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like it's hard to balance it out. Especially with a four-cylinder. I wonder how, I mean, I don't know about exhaust or anything like that, but it seems like with the four-cylinders, it seems like the rasp seems to come back. You can put resonators and things on there and stuff like that. You know, you can do
those boxer motors can get a pretty cool sound if you get the right, you know, type of exhaust and the right balance. And though
it all depends too with these cars. If you go unequal length header, you get more lower end torque after you get your tune. But if you get equal length header, it sounds less like a boxer engine. Oh no, I think it sounds less like a boxer engine. So if you want it to sound more like a boxer engine, more like a Subaru, you get more torque, but if you want it to sound something a little bit different, you get a little less torque. So it's kind of like, which one do you want?
That's what I remember when I got my exhaust done on my other car. I had the guy ask me at the shop. He says, hey, what do you want? Do you want loud or do you want performance? I was like, can I get both? is it possible? You know, I don't want like super loud because I don't want like it, like obviously you're going to get pulled over and state reps kind of thing. But I also don't want it to sound like it's got nothing.
A little bit. You want people to hear you a little bit of like, oh, that car's fixed up. Like, it sounds nice. We enjoy nice. If I'm sitting eating brunch and my girlfriend's talking to me and a car passes by, hold on. Like, you know, we're going to look.
Right. So in this shot guys are all looking at it's like a Corvette, I guess.
I was going to ask, because this was for that Cars and Bids, like kind of three-part series they did a little while back. Did you do mostly photography or not? Did you help with some
for
of the
this
videography?
Shoot, I did. I was just photography. I was just there to capture like the behind the scenes and action shots. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah.
And I said this camera rig here on this back of this Pacifica. Of all the cars, the cars of coffee, the Pacifica.
Probably an awesome camera car, to be honest. Like,
is that what it is?
A Pacifica is the best production car. Here's why. When I travel for work, it's me, my girlfriend, and one of my friends. It's three of us. We rent a Pacifica. The doors open. All the seats in the back can go straight flat. So we leave one up, and then you have all the footage. You have enough space to put a lot of gear. And it's easy to drive. It's like production's favorite vehicle because everything, all the seats in the back, I don't know how, I'm always impressed, but like they literally just lay down flat and hide. And like now you have a cargo van, essentially.
Oh, nice. And this kind of, what camera is it we're looking at here in the shot?
I think that's a Sony FX6.
Okay. What's the camera cost, by the way? Just curiosity.
Sony FX6, brand new, about $6,500. They might have lowered in price.
Okay.
It's a couple years older now, but about $6,500.
Now, are you using the same software for the photos as the video?
To edit?
Yeah.
Photos, I use Lightroom Classic, and then video, I use Premiere Pro.
Okay.
But under the Adobe umbrella, yeah.
Oh, are they both under Adobe?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Some people get in that ecosystem, like with Apple and everything too. It's like they get their thing. I mean, do you pay like a subscription for both units?
No, I pay one for all the Adobe products.
Oh, master like subscription.
50, yeah, it's like 50 something a month or every year during Thanksgiving, they have a sale.
Oh, right.
And I call and I tell them, hey, I want to cancel this. And they're like, no, we'll give you the deal. I've done it like 2 years in a row.
Nice.
So it just gives you 50% off.
I got to do that for SiriusXM right now.
I hate that. Yeah, I used to do the same thing for them too. I used to cancel them and whatever, all the different things. You know, I do my video editing. I started playing with, when I started doing the show, I started playing with DaVinci Resolve. And I just been using that, and it's overkill for some stuff, but for what I use it for, it's fine. And I wanted something that can shoot and can edit 4K, you know, fairly easily.
If you ever want to get into coloring, that's the best one to use.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
I will do some coloring on this, but I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to coloring. So I'm just like, make it look not so harsh and not so dim, kind of in the middle. But yeah, that's what I hear. The color grading is supposed to be great. And I didn't realize until I got into it that they actually, DaVinci, like, did all the movies too. Like, it's all done on DaVinci.
Yeah, like it's like the professionals. It's like the industry standard for most of the editing for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think they actually do the cutting of the movie. I think they just do the color grading on it, really. I think it's like just do the final wash or whatever you want to call it on it. This Viper here we're looking at, I hear, I just pulled on screen. Mm-hmm. Looks fantastic. I like the color on the thing. It's red and black with like a stripe. It looks like it kind of dips down the middle. It's so cool. Like that whole color combo.
Yeah, I got to ride in it. Unfortunately, I didn't get to drive it, but we went to, that was a shoot for a car and bids listing for, it was
how
going
much
on the
did
website.
They want for this one?
Oh, that one already sold, but I forgot what it sold for.
Way over 100, I think, right?
I think around there, yeah. I love Vipers. Yeah.
Oh, I've always loved Vipers.
So cool. Yeah.
People love, the ACRs and, these particular. I got a buddy who's just like, I mean, his dream car. Just he loves NSXs and he loves Vipers.
Look at that speedometer. Yeah. Look at that speedometer. It's like 220 is top of the speedometer. And the thing is, funny thing is, that you actually probably can go there in this car.
Yeah.
Because a lot of cars are it's kind of a joke. Like, I remember growing up when, your parents have a car and the speedometer said it went like 130. You think, 130 or whatever. The car could do 130 or whatever it is. Yeah, that kind of thing. So, it's kind of sucks though. Like, we don't have anything here, like, legally we can take a car on to, like, see how fast it really can go. We got, like, quarter miles and whatever, drag strips, that kind of stuff. But that doesn't, you can't, like, ring it out. You know what I'm saying?
We need one of our friends to get rich and buy a private airport. And just let us use it. There was a house for sale on Zillow a while back.
Oh, yeah.
That had an airport strip. It was County. No, NorCal. It had its own airport. And I sent it to Kevin from Avant. And I was like, hey, man, you're a pilot. Like, you should get this. And it was like cheap. And I was like, how cool would that be to like have that house and like you can, it's your own airport. So you can like literally use it as a drag strip if you want it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But, I mean, the only thing that worries me is if you go like all out on, I don't know how long the airport is, because eventually it's a slowdown. And so, like if you're trying to do 220, whatever, you need a lot of running room and a lot of.
Oh, you need way more for 220. Yeah.
You need more than you're going to like get off the edge of the cliff or whatever. But for like a fun like race or drag strip race or whatever, and you did mention taking your car to are you like what are you gonna do with it? Are you gonna try to race it? What are you trying to do with it?
So my goal with the BRZ is to first of all the goal is to become the best driver I can. I want to get better. I want to go to the track. I want to implement everything I've learned in sim racing and be able to drive more powerful cars and know what I'm doing. I do want to track it. I want to build it for track. I want to upgrade the brakes, roll cage. I'm pretty much going to make it. I want to make it handle good before I even touch anything in the engine. So it's probably going to have a roll cage, a bucket seat, big brake kit, all before I even add anything to the engine or a header or anything. I might have to do the header just to get a little bit more lower end torque.
Right.
But I do also want to learn to drift. When I need tires.
Yeah, drift cars, yeah.
I went to go do donuts and that was my first time ever trying donuts. And I felt so comfortable because of the sim. My friend was with me. He's like, it looked like you've been doing this for a while. And I was like, it was my first time.
I just saw your sim. I just saw it in here. Where is it at? I just saw it in here. I thought I saw it in here.
No, we had a little friendly competition from a month ago.
Oh, that's the old setup. That's the old setup. I have an actual rig on a metal frame and everything.
Is it your place? Where is it at?
Yeah, so I live in a loft downtown, and my sim rig is to my left. I have my gaming and work area here.
That's a video of you.
That's the old one. Yeah.
Oh,
but. And then my bed is right above me. So I have, you see the platform right there?
Yeah.
So I have I tell people I have that the adult bed. What's it called? Bunk
adult
bed?
Adult bunk
bed.
The coolest adult bunk bed.
This looks great. I got to try one of these things, man.
Fun.
You got a shifter too. Now, does the shifter actually feel like a real shifter? Is it like
that one? That one's not that great. It's entry level. The one that I got,
I don't know if you can hear it.
No.
Oh yeah,
it's like gated. It's better.
Okay,
it has more of a gated feel, and it feels nicer. Yeah.
What was that?
What wheel was that that you had on the old setup? Was that Logitech or?
Yeah, the entry level Logitech like G29 or something, and now I have the Logitech Pro wheel and pedals with the Pro shifter.
Nice.
That's great. Oh, is this it here?
No, that was somewhere else. But that was just being trying to compete with friends.
Getting on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great stuff.
Honestly, the sim helps.
Does it help? Now, does it help somebody who has never driven a stick shift before learn how to drive a stick?
I think you can learn the basics. I've taught my knee. I haven't shown them in the car just yet, but I think you can at least help them understand. But it's not going to be like actually learning to drive stick in real life.
Because the guy bought my car and said he learned how to drive a stick on a sim. And I was like, get out of here with you. Come on, you bought it now, kid. Come on now. What is this, a Guitar Hero? Come on now.
Because I feel like you can learn like the mechanics of it. But I think with sim, what helps is your reaction to steering, braking. So when I'm doing sim racing on a GT3 car, I learned to brake with my left foot and like... You know, but when I did donuts and the car got loose for the first time, I started doing donuts and I'm like, oh, wow, I wanted to keep going and do figure eights, but I wanted to just get out before like cops showed up or anything. I was very paranoid. And then after I left, I'm like, I probably could have stayed a little bit longer and it would have been okay. I was just too scared. But once I got the car loose, I felt comfortable. I'm like, oh, I've been here before in the sim.
Nice. Now, your car, you can turn traction control off, I'm sure. I'm assuming. Yeah. Okay. And the sim, I'm sure, does it do it too, or does it sim the traction control?
Yeah, you can turn that off too. Yeah, you can do a lot with these sims now.
But what does a sim rig cost? Of curiosity, something like that, with the whole setup and everything.
I got mine on sale. I got all my Logitech Pro stuff. I got 30% off. The sim rig that I bought came with the monitor and the seat. I got probably like almost 50% off because I bought a used. But I'm all in about $2,500.
That's not too bad.
With a nice setup that like it's pretty good, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Now, is it running off an Xbox or what? A computer?
No, I'm on my PC. Yeah, I do have a PS5 and I can get Gran Turismo if I wanted, but I already have all these other sims and I feel like...
They work pretty well, or would it be better to have like a dedicated system like a PlayStation?
No, I if you want to do sim racing, I think a PC is going to be better because you can so much more. Yeah,
really? I had no idea. I thought
Assetto Corsa is like an old game, but they have like 90 gigs of mods. I have like over 100 911s. Like you could just, people just build everything. Oh, wow. I have Los Angeles Crest in the sim. So when I went to Newcomb's Ranch one day, I came home and I remember a yellow 992 GT3 pass up the mountain in my left ear. I was like, wow, I'm going to drive that when I get home. So I went home and it's 1-to-1. So after driving in real life, I came home, I drove it and I was like, oh, I knew exactly where I'm at, you know?
That's so cool.
So it's kind of cool. Yeah. I have a VR headset, so I can literally drive up the mountain in LA 1-to-1 scale in VR and the, what's it called? The depth of field works.
You're getting the whole, Because sometimes just with a monitor and a TV, it's just like, you're only getting this like, this kind of narrow view versus what you actually see when you're in the car. So. Yeah.
But what VR headset do you have?
I have the Meta Quest 3.
Oh, that's the latest one.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Because my kids have had them. Other people I've known have had them. And it's like, it's really popular when you first get it, but then it just gets thrown in the junk drawer.
I have used it less and less. And the other day I started a game on the VR and the graphics are great. It's a really fun game. And I was like, okay, I gotta use it more. But yeah, when I first got it, I was using it a lot. And lately I'm like, it's just been sitting there.
I don't think my son's used his since we got it for him, probably like, 5 years ago, or whatever. It was second gen, I think we got him.
Maybe the first Quest 2?
It might have been 2. Maybe it was 1. I don't know. Anyways, maybe it was 1. But the point is this, that he didn't use it anymore. You know, it's like, I don't know where the thing is. It could be in storage. Who knows?
Yeah. Sometimes I want to sim race and I can literally turn on my sim, the other monitor and be in a game in like 2 minutes. Right. And that's why I upgraded to this setup because before I had to like race my desk, bring my lawn chair thing.
More work,
clamp
huh?
Clamp my wheel on the desk. So now I made it easy. And then sometimes like, ooh, let me do some VR sim racing. And then I spent 30 minutes just trying to figure some stuff out. I'm like, okay, I'm just not going to do VR tonight.
Well, does your VR like vibrate and shake and move the seat and stuff like that too?
No.
Okay. They're the ones that do that weird stuff. Like it moves around and all the things. You know,
you're going to have like a motion sickness warning on the side. Yeah.
or whatever and stuff. And it vibrates. You go off into the rubble, you know, the grass a little bit.
They're getting better with, there's little things that you could do to add a little bit more. So you add things behind your pedals to simulate when you hit ABS. So it does vibrate a little.
Really?
And then they have what's called butt kickers. You put them on the framing. So it does add a little bit. It's not full motion, but it adds a little bit of vibration. And then it's getting pretty crazy. They even have like seatbelt tensioner. So when you brake, it like tightens a little to give you...
Wait, you wear seatbelts in this thing?
Oh, no. I don't, but like people do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But you crash into.
But it's all to simulate it. So think about this. If you have a good sim rig and you add a little bit of motion and then the seatbelt tightening and then you're in VR... It's gonna give you more of that simulation of like being in the car, which is what we're chasing, right? To simulate that that feeling.
Right. Who typically owns sim rigs? Like who's a customer for that?
I think a lot of people that get into it, but they go all in. I bought this from a guy that bought it. He's like, yeah, I bought it. And after like a month, it's just been sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, great. Now I can buy it for half off. But I think it's a bunch of... it's people like me that want to become better drivers and actually want to get into racing. And I want my 40s to be... I want to be in my race car driver era, you know?
Yeah.
So it's people that want to practice. But it's also kids that want to play Forza on the wheel in third person, which I don't understand. But like just people that love cars and drive. Yeah. And my nephew wants to get into it too. He's 19 and he wants to get a sim rig. And so, yeah, I feel like anywhere from wanting to just play Forza to iRacing and people that want to just practice. Because it is good practice. You can practice tracks before going to the track.
That's the thing too. I heard these tracks are pretty realistic to what they really are in the real world. And they map those things out pretty well. I mean, they've been doing it probably since Gran Turismo days.
Yeah,
I would think, and things like that.
I've done the Nürburgring a lot, and now whenever I get to go over there and do a lap in a car, rent like a slower car, like I'm gonna feel more comfortable because I know the track than if like I went blind. So it does help.
For sure.
Like a lot of folks, I mean, Laguna Seca is like ingrained in so many people's memory. Like going there last week, like, I mean, you know, like the corkscrew, you know, like the follow through after the corkscrew and everything. And it's Sims, but also, yeah, like Gran Turismo, Forza that like ingrain that in you. And I think that, like you said, if sometimes people just want to enjoy that just for that. Some people want to step it up and really kind of, you know, get into the set of Corsa, the iRacing full on, you know, kind of feel. But it's like there's, like they say, there's levels to everything. Like there's just so many levels to it. Like you have my little small setup that's now it's like a lot more official than it used to be, where it used to be like a little TV stand. You got to go and tighten your thing on there, and got a shifter on a whole different table and everything. Like,
did you have the nice setup where it's like a stand where the wheel and the pedals are on a stand, but then you have to figure out your chair situation?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
it's almost kind of like that now still, except that the frame where the shifter and the pedals are all one thing now, so I don't have to worry about setting that up. But then it's like you're trying to find your office chair, make sure it's at the right level and everything. So,
dude, I'm just playing the joystick of the handheld. That's all I do. that's about as far as
sometimes
I got.
Sometimes it's fun to just do that too. That's what I like. There's some games where it's just like I don't even want to bother with it. I just want to get in. Like
the new Forza on the controller is so much better in third person. That game.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm drifting up the mountain and playing with my friends, but I feel like Forza, the new Forza, is more casual.
So yeah,
there's like a little bit for everything. Yeah,
you know, I remember when tablets and iPads kind of first hit the scene. They did the motion screen, and I kind of annoyed with it. Like you turn the tablet, and like it would move the car with the tablet became the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You ever tried that? I played that. I didn't care for it. I was like, this is stupid.
I've tried it, and it was not it.
It was kind of weird because you move the whole screen with you or whatever kind of thing. Well, Adrian, this has been so fantastic having you come by and share your channel, all your cool stuff, man. I appreciate you and all your photography, all your stuff, man. This is good stuff you do.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of that, where can everybody find you and all your cool stuff?
Instagram. It's going to be meant to be driven with a bunch of underscores in between.
Yeah.
So, and that's pretty much it. I do have a YouTube channel that I should be posting more, and I don't. But I think in the next couple months, I'm going to be, I have a lot of footage to play with. So awesome. I just want to either tell stories or meet people with interesting cars that are high mileage, do more photo shoots. And I want to use my platform to like highlight just interesting people that have used their car for what they're intended for, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, the cars and coffee that's actually being used. And like you said earlier, like high mileage cars are pretty cool. That you know, older cars and that, you know, that it kept up and meeting cool people. It's always a cool experience, man. We appreciate you stopping by today, man.
Thank you.
And we will catch you guys on the very next episode. Don't go anywhere.